Hosting Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Pope Francis was well enough this morning to meet with the Vatican Secretary of State to approve a new decree for saints. He also called a formal meeting to set the dates for their canonization. The 88-year-old Pope is still in critical condition with double pneumonia. During a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House, President Trump was once again pressed about his relationship with Vladimir Putin.
When pressed, Trump again refusing to call Vladimir Putin a dictator, instead saying he might visit Moscow soon, a trip that would be a huge boost to Putin, who's been isolated from the West since the start of the war. Ukrainian President Zelensky, who Trump has called a dictator, under intense pressure from the White House to sign a deal giving the U.S. permission to mine critical minerals and resources inside Ukraine.
ABC's Ian Pannell reporting from Kyiv. Continued confusion in Washington over those job descriptions federal employees were told to write up or face possible layoffs. This is ABC News. A senior law enforcement official tells ABC News anger is what motivated that attack at a Pennsylvania hospital over the weekend. ABC's Aaron Katursky says a suspect was upset over a perceived lack of care for a family member who died in the ICU.
Ortiz killing West York police officer Andrew Duarte and wounding two more officers before he was killed by police. Duarte had just turned 30 and was one of only 13 officers on the West York force. His mother, Nancy, telling our affiliate WHTM.
The Lord used him to save the lives of others.
The attack follows the caught-on-camera assassination of healthcare executive Brian Thompson. Alleged killer Luigi Mangione, who was pleaded not guilty, has become a folk hero for some who see the crime as vengeance.
Denny's following the Waffle House by adding a surcharge onto orders of eggs. Waffle House tacking on a 50-cent per egg charge to its breakfast order to make up for rising egg costs due to the number of chickens with bird flu. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Our record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes. With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
The Packers are in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where over 300 of the top college football players will work out and interview with teams. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst doing interviews with the media, asked about free agents like defensive end Myles Garrett or wide receiver Davante Adams. A number of Wisconsin Badger players here, like Jack Nelson. College basketball, Wisconsin slipped from 11th to the 12th ranked team in the nation in the AP Top 25 after that loss in overtime. Time to Oregon. They play Washington tonight at the Kohl Center. Marquette now ranked 22nd after losing four of their last six games. They host Providence tomorrow night at 6. The Bucks on the road in Houston tonight against the Rockets. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins says he was taking live batting practice against Freddie Peralta when a fastball struck him just below the right knee, fracturing his shin bone. Perkins expects to be out until early May. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Odyssey Volume 3 and Thor Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 43. Chance of snow or rain tonight, a low of 32. Could see some patchy fog as well. For Wednesday, rain and snow likely, highs in the low 40s. For Thursday, partly sunny, 41, and 40 on your Friday.
Currently 33 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Home for the top.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday. I got some text here. Mino says, quote, give me 4 guesses to get 3 right, with total confidence in his voice. Mino then proceeds to take 6 guesses, only gets 2, yet remains completely unfazed. Peak Mino right there.
There you go.
Another one.
I live with that.
From Marine, I totally agree with the 1923 season 2. First episode, season 2, first episode, I had to leave the room during the scenes. You are right. It should not have been put in that show, Marine. It was It was literally disturbing.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yep. We'll introduce our special guest.
Hey,
Jim.
We love the arts, and we got a special guest here, Zane Statz, right?
Yes.
Zane Statz, 32-year-old.
No, it does sound like a made-up name.
It does. That's why I asked
Coming
you.
Coming up next, Zane Statz.
Now it's real. On my birth certificate.
And all right, and you're the real guy when it comes to art. Norbert's grad, and you do painting, artwork in communities here in Green Bay, but all through the Midwest. Tell me how you got into this, and I want to
And where do we see your work?
I want to talk to you more about what you're doing, the portrait thing, but
sure.
Tell me a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so no, I'm born and raised in the area, grew up in Door County, went to St. Norbert for college, and I've just kind of been painting murals and really anything for the last 10, 12 years. So back in 2014, with another friend, I started the Packers Fence down on LaGuardia Avenue.
With Spencer.
Yes.
Who's a friend of ours, too.
Yeah, back in 2014, painted that for about 8 years, changing it up every year with a different kind of design, slogan, kind of amping up the season. Always a Saturday before the first season of the game or the season of the year. And so then back in 2 years ago, I started a new fence, which is a community paint by numbers fence. So it's down the road, same street, same block, just kitty corner to hinterland. And this is a fence where I set up a paint by numbers grid, have the community come out and paint it in one day.
Because so many people you had.
So this year, this season, I had about 500 people.
Oh my gosh!
Paint the mural in about 9 hours. So
that's
it was a
pretty
very,
cool.
Yeah. So year one, it was about 200 people came out and painted it in an hour and a half. I had it more of a simplified mural. I wasn't sure how the turnout was going to be. So then year two,
I took it up.
When was it?
No. What was it?
The first mural. The first mural was an illustration of 4 vintage football cards featuring the 3 previous quarterbacks.
Yes. Remember that?
And then
I do.
Jordan Love. And then this year it says Lambo, and it features a different player illustration inside of each letter.
Yeah, if you would have called me, I would have told you the turnout's going to be good. I mean, that is just something that's almost like shoveling snow at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
I mean, people just want to be part of that. Johnny and I painted there with Spencer's thing one time. That's just a cool part of Green Bay, like the kids with the bikes, and I think people take part of that. And you've got...
Does anybody know what the very first sign said?
I do. What the very first sign said? Mm-hmm. No, but that'd have to be back in the 80s, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. How do we verify this?
I'll
I'm saying it. Isn't that verification enough?
I know what it was, Zane. Beware of dog.
It's probably go pack go.
Go back over there. What was it, Johnny?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out there for a prize package.
Okay.
I'll write it
that
down.
That means he doesn't know.
No, I should. Give me a pen. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write this down for you guys and see if anybody knows. Todd, you got something for a prize package?
This is the first Packer-painted fence on Lombardi.
Yes. John? What okay. year would this be? This would be 82?
I'm going to say 84.
84. Okay.
Zane's on top of this. I'm surprised you don't know this.
And this would be the one that's kitty corner to the Resch Expo now. It's the one with the plaque, I'm assuming, that has the text from every year.
Okay, so I'm going to show you this.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Good luck. Okay.
I just that.
Yes.
I,
does
I
anybody remember 1984?
I would.
Todd, what we got for a prize package?
I'll don't put it up in front of the camera.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Here we got a.
That's not what I have according to online, but ooh. We'll go with yours.
Okay. Can you text me what it says online?
Sure.
Just to make sure they got it wrong.
We have this WGBW coffee cup, Mino and the Mayor.
I've got
it. Wash that out. We'll give it away.
No, I've got a real one. We'll give him a Mino and the Mayor coffee mug. Okay.
All right. Wash it out.
I want to see what yours says, Todd.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about you. So you're doing this painting. Tell me about the draft is coming up. That's going to be an attraction. We're going to be on the world stage for 3, 4, maybe 5 days. What are you going to bring to the party regarding fence painting?
Yeah, so I mean, the draft's coming to the area. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, not millions of people coming to the area. So I wanted to find a way to kind of optimize that fence, not just from like a community standpoint of involving people, but also just kind of like creating something that's epic and it's kind of going to create a standpoint. So what I'm doing is, I guess, to set the stage, back in 2020 on the Packers fence, back in COVID-19 year, very limited fans were allowed into the stadium. So that year on the fence, we sold portraits to 70 fans that were then featured on the fence. And then all that money went to a Green Bay foundation that helped families in need with any kind of COVID-19 complications.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
So 70 people paid to get their portrait on the fence. Couldn't get in the game. And then he took the proceeds from that and supported local foundations.
It's awesome.
That's
fantastic.
That's awesome that you
yeah,
did that.
So, I mean, anyway, so that fantastic. Was back in 2020. So I want to do something similar but magnify it because it's going to be a ginormous event. So what I'm doing is I'm selling 100 portraits, opening it up to all 32 teams. All of that money, every single penny is going directly to the three different communities foundations. So it's going to 23's Cleats for Kids.
That's a good one.
Which, yeah, I think
well, Spencer Bentley, paints that, doesn't he? Somebody does.
Yeah, I work with Bentley on that.
Oh, Bentley, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes, right. Bentley and I work together in that. And then I'm also working with Grit 920, which is an organization in town that builds gyms for individuals with special needs or any kind of development
issues.
We've had them on,
yep,
too.
So they're
love
great.
That.
And then Freedom House, which is another.
That's great.
Amazing.
These are three great. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, so in total, I'll be raising $100,000.
It's $1,000. He wants, and what's cool, but what Zane is doing is he wants these portraits that are going to be on this fence that everybody's going to see. He wants people from all 32 teams.
That's
too,
awesome.
Which is a great goal.
Yeah, I mean.
So you're talking like a star player in their history? Or
no, so it's a fan. So
with the player's jersey, though.
Yes, so they could either purchase a portrait for themselves, which is their likeness in
okay,
their favorite
okay,
jersey.
Got it,
or
got
they
it,
can,
got it, got it, got it.
Most of the purchases so far, though, has been for someone else, for a son, a brother, a sister, a mother, a grandpa.
Okay.
So far, they've mostly been gifts, but you know, I'm looking for anyone, any team to fill up the space.
I thought you meant like, okay, Chicago Bears, Dick Butkus, or something
I mean,
like
if
that,
you want to spend your money on that, go for it. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
He can.
Back in the COVID-19 fence, we had dogs on the fence. So, I mean, if you want to pay to get your friendly pet on there, you can have anything on there.
Oh, boy.
Could be talked into that.
Oh, boy. Okay. You're in the wheelhouse now, Zane.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, so the end goal is to all 100 portraits. Right now, I got about 32 sold. So we're getting there.
All right.
We're not even to March.
Yeah.
I'll start painting.
How many have you sold?
About 32 as of this morning.
And how many do you want to get?
100.
Okay.
Yep, going to exactly 100. I have it all mapped out for 100.
A lot of stuff is picking up now.
Yes.
On the draft.
Yes.
Rentals, there's so many things.
Well, even the weather turning nicer.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, let's get out.
Good things are coming.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
All right, so how do people, let's say someone has a dog they love and they want his.
Just anybody.
Pork, just on the street. He's got a man on the street.
Wasn't the former mayor or anything like that.
And has $1,000 that they would like. To do how what's the process?
Yes, so all this information can be found at greenbaygivesback.com. I created a whole website dedicated to this. It goes through all the information about the project, where the fence is located, how you can be involved, how your $1,000 purchase is 100% tax deductible, and the process of how you can go through that.
Certified 501(c).
Exactly. Yes. So all of this money is going directly to charity. Everything is being funded on the back end through other aspects.
Great.
So everything that you will put towards this project will go directly back to the Green Bay community.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. That's a great concept. And I it checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
And people, you know, might want to see their dog or, you know, somebody or themselves on there, but that the money goes to charity. And those are good charities too. And they're all pretty good, but those are really, really good ones. So thanks for doing this. So Green Bay GivesBack.com.
Exactly. Green Bay GivesBack.
Everything there. You can register, put in.
Register, yes. Yeah.
So they forward you a photo? How's this?
Yes, the whole information on the whole process is on there. But basically, it goes through a third-party GiveButter website app where that's where they make the purchase. All the funds are held in a 501c account, so that's not tax-deductible.
Right.
What's this whole thing?
How long will they be on there then?
The portraits will be up there until the end of August.
Oh,
so then cool. A new community fence will go up for next season, another paint-by-numbers fence, and maybe we'll have 700 people out there next year, including you guys.
Fantastic. That's awesome. By the way, nobody's coming up with that, and Todd said he can't verify it, so I'm throwing this out there. I'm going to tell you what the answer is.
All right.
Repeat the what?
What was the very first slogan on the fence back in 1984?
I have no idea.
And I wrote it down here and showed you guys.
What is it?
Forest will set the pack on fire.
That's kind of clever.
It is.
Forrest will set the pack on fire.
What?
That's what I'm saying it is.
I would love to see a picture of the fence with that painted on it. Yeah. I would love to see the vintage first original. There's got to be someone that took that.
Sure. What? Why? How do you know that? Did you paint? Did you help?
He probably covered the story, huh?
I covered the story.
Yeah.
You want to know anything about the Packers from about 1984 to about 1998? Let me know. Because I lived it, buddy. When you're a sportscaster in Green Bay in that era, you live it.
So, Zane, tell me a little bit more about you're
but
doing this.
With that caveat, I may be wrong.
You didn't have to mention that.
That's the first time you've ever said that.
Good, Jack, today was the first time Jim said I gratified. What did I say? What'd you say? I felt what?
Comforted.
I comforted you.
Yeah.
I felt comforted.
I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. Anyway, you do this. How do you get your work? Like, you go down to Chicago or the Chiefs? I don't know where you were. Is it all sports related or is it anything related?
Yes, I do a variety of work. Primarily, it's all funded through social media. So I've got a strong social media following. Primarily on Instagram, and that's where I get 95% of my work.
Wow.
I do about 15 to 20 murals per year, and that's primarily in the Midwest.
Where are some of the other ones we've seen around here?
So in Green Bay behind Kavarna, there's a very colorful one that says, is it Love Grows Here? Or Let Us Love One Another.
Yeah, okay.
On that one. Yeah. The fence, obviously, on Lombardi. And then there's a bunch down in Fond du Lac, Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, Indiana, Minneapolis.
That's cool.
All over, I kind of get around. And then during the winter when it gets cold out here and it's not as much time to paint, then I go into custom cleats for football players. So about each season I do about 20, 30, 40. This year was about 31 pairs I did. And then now the season's over, so it's back into mural planning. So it kind of switches up by the season. But really anything that can be painted, I will paint.
If you're gonna have a big mural on something, it's all faces, you know, not just words. I mean, you got the face, you know, where you have to have some detail with how they actually look. Do you draw that out first with like a charcoal pen or something, and then how do you do that?
So with that,
I know everyone, I can't draw a straight line, but I'm a horrific. I'm the only kid. I got a bleep and C. I just found an old report card. I got a C in art when I was like in fourth grade. Who gives somebody a C in art?
That's lame.
You're just trying your hardest. You're doing your best. Okay, I don't have that talent.
Did you try?
I tried hard.
Because at least you got a B.
I should have gotten at least a B for effort.
For effort. Wow.
I got two C's.
Sister.
Guess what the other C came in?
Math.
It was the same teacher.
Math.
Science.
Nope.
English.
Nope.
Music?
Yeah.
Wow.
Singing.
Well, I think we all agree with that.
That just shows she had it out for me.
She knew what she was doing. I don't know about the art teacher, but...
Zane Statz, if that is, in fact, his real name. We'll be back right after this.
GreenBayGivesBack.com.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver. And at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers, But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here. Good looking Tuesday. It is 36 degrees in Green Bay, 34 in Appleton, 37 in Oshkosh. It feels really nice out there. Forecast today, sunny and 43. Like to hear that. I think we almost appreciate that more with it being so unbelievably cruddy.
Right,
for a couple
last
of weeks.
Week. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
this real, I mean, okay, week ago, wind chill was what, 30 below? And now it's going to be 43 cents. You know what I mean? It's like, that's phenomenal. We'll take that. We're joined by Zane Statz, graphic designer, painter, mural artist, talking about a really exciting project these guys coming up in order for the draft and how you can be a part of this and have about 330,000 eyes on you, if not more. Zane, one more time, in case somebody joined us a little bit late, talk about the number one project you're working on now that you're putting together, please.
Sure. So this is a fence on Lombardi Avenue. It's on the main block of Lombardi Avenue, directly across the street from Lambeau Field. So it'll be really close to all the action on draft night. What I'm doing is it's a 70-foot-long fence, and I am selling spots to get your image and likeness on the fence for the draft and the summer. 100 portraits are going to be going on this fence. Each portrait costs $1,000. All of that $1,000, every single penny is going directly to three charities in Green Bay. In total, this is going to be $100,000 raised for the community. The three charities are Freedom House, Grit 920, and 23's Cleats for Kids. So this is really just a great community event where I'm looking to get 100 huge fans, NFL fans on the fence from any team. This is not just specifically to Packers fans. This is to all 32 NFL teams. And just looking for those ultimate fans to come up on the fence and really ultimately help the Green Bay community with this huge event coming to Green Bay.
Wow. And is their name on there or is it just the image?
Their name will be on there. Their name will be on there. If there's any kind of specific text to a limitation can go on there. There's no branding of any kind that can go on there.
Right, right. Advertising.
No advertising. But if they want their name or a last name or something specific like that, definitely.
Can they wear their favorite team's jerseys?
The color of their favorite team and the city will be on there, but I cannot use the logo or the name. So, yes.
Yeah, but it's pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious, yeah. You'll be able to tell.
And you've been referred to as the unofficial artist of the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Green Bay Press Gazette.
That's cool. But you do, tell us a little bit more about the work you do outside the community. Do you say Fond du Lac's big? Why is Fond du Lac an area?
Yeah, so I've been working a lot with Fond du Lac just because a lot of cities have been getting grants. They're called beautification grants, where they're getting specific money to kind of help beautify their town. Fond du Lac got a lot of money to really help revitalize a lot of their parks. So in a lot of their parks, I've been doing murals either on fences or on cement floor.
And they built
Wait, back up. Say that again. What was that very, very last thing you said?
On cement floor. So one of the murals I did for them was they put in it's an outdoor musical park. So it's a bunch of outdoor musical instruments
cool.
For kids to go out there and play. But the whole, it's on a big slab of concrete. So they wanted me to do a mural on the base of it. So the whole bottom slab is a big mural, and then the big all the instruments are on top.
Is that harder because you can't step back and look at it?
Yes.
Okay.
So actually, what I did,
drone out.
Literally, I used my drone as a grid.
Oh, you did?
I took my drone out there to paint the grid and use different like elements, trees and stuff to know of where I can kind of line items off of, and from there on, I was able to scale.
Okay, so there's math involved.
There's a lot of math involved.
Okay.
Not good in art, not good in math. John, I think you're
sure not going to sing as a painter.
I know what my next job is not going to be.
I know. Mural painting is more than just a brush stroke. There's actually a lot of math and a lot of back end engineering involved just to make sure it all works. So
That's actually pretty fascinating. I mean, that really is. To use a drone to plot out your grid.
Yeah, because that was one of the first times I've had to paint down. I mean, painting.
That's what I mean. You can step back, like I said.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, these parks in some of these cities, Fond du Lac, Appleton, all cities, Green Bay included, when we built things, I'm not sure we had art in mind.
Yeah.
So it's nice because some of these cinder block buildings, kind of ugly, but, you know, that's what the budget had. And to enhance those with art is, that's a real gift that you're sharing that can really enhance that park. It's cool to look at some parks and say, well, it's really not the park that's on this street. It's the park with this mural.
Exactly.
And that's.
And one of the parks specifically in Fond du Lac, it was a park that at the corner of it was a big bar. And then there's a big city park that was basically on the same block. So they built this large fence separating the bar from the park. And then it is a ginormous, colorful mural separating the two. So you don't even realize that there's a bar right across from the fence. Mm-hmm. It just seems like this big, beautiful park. So it helps beautify these spaces without really overtaking anything.
When did local mural guys first come onto the scene?
Right.
You know, like. 20 years ago, there was nothing like this.
It's been the last 15 years, and it started off coast to coast, and now it's kind of been up into the Midwest. I mean, it's not been a huge thing for very long.
And I think the beautification, not a good word to enhance some of this stuff, was advertising, and people really don't like that. They don't want to see drink Diet Coke or whatever it is.
No.
They would really rather see some artwork from you, somebody local, talented.
You know, this is going off course here a little bit, but I was sitting for a train, of course, yesterday, right up here in Walnut.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just thinking to myself, I'd like to find the kid that painted this, whatever it was. This kid's got a tremendous talent. I don't know if he's in a gang someplace and that's what they did or whatever. It's like,
well, the train.
On the train.
I love train
art. I would hire this guy for any kind of whatever, and it's maybe some kid with a can of spray paint someplace, right? Yeah.
Train art is some of the most beautiful art. I mean, some of it is crude, obviously, but some of it is just like it should be in a museum.
It was incredible.
They had a display one time at the Railroad Museum of not Green Bay stuff, but just train art.
Oh, yeah.
This is the only time I've ever sat and enjoyed waiting for this bleeping train, watching this really impressive work go by.
Oh, yeah. And that's the really cool thing about public art is everyone can experience it. Everyone can enjoy it, and you don't have to pay for it either.
Right.
It's just there for you to soak up and enjoy. And with art, everyone can interpret it differently. It's not just like black and white. I mean, we're all there to kind of experience it, interpret it, and it's just like a whole event for us kind of to be a part of.
Yeah, that's a good what Zane is talking about. Some people can see that train and just, those gangs.
Right.
And other people can say, wow, that's a cool design.
And it's cool, like, for all facets of life to be able to look at that and see it as art. I mean, it's not just us artists looking at it, but I mean, everyone, every walk of life literally is looking at this and could be seeing it as the beauty that it is and not just a gang sign on a train, which hopefully that's not what it was.
But I don't know what it was.
It's hard to read sometimes.
Exactly.
The
colors, the way things were blended, the whole, it's like, wow.
Enjoy the delay. You know, we can calm there, get their blood pressure down and say, look at the artwork you're seeing. This is a free art show.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Got to ask you a quick question.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Were you that kid first day of class? You could draw that horse and nobody else could?
No.
No?
Okay. I was not that kid. No, I was not huge into art growing up. I really didn't start doing art until my dad let me spray paint the garage in high school. So once I got to spray paint the garage, that's a whole nother story for another day.
We'll have you back.
That'll be next time.
Wow. All right, Zane, this is awesome. So this is Zane Stats. He's the guy painting this fence. You can get your portrait on there, greenbaygivesback.com. Get on that website. Buy it as a gift for your mom, for your kids, for your dog.
Or cat.
Yeah. But it might have been mad when I spray painted something at my house. Woo! I still have scars from
that
day.
This is great.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Help promoting it.
Great
to have people from around here.
Appreciate it. We come back. We're going to talk old school basketball with Gary Gresh Sr., and Al McGuire days. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Tuesday morning. If we think about all of the different factors that influence the marketplace, a lot of it is out of a farmer's control. Weather, politics, the value of the dollar, energy prices, all of these things are influencing today's marketplace. But what is in a farmer's control is whether or not they take advantage of risk management tools. Jacob Burks joins us. He's a partner with AgMarket.net, based in Lancaster, but he works with producers nationwide. He says risk management can be as simple as diversification.
That's a tool that you could have in your tool belt to manage your risk on your farm. Sometimes, you know, a lot of guys this fall luckily had some cattle in store just to walk some of that corn off the farm. You know, they had a lot, you know, very low depressed price at harvest and was able to walk that off. So yeah, we have a lot, you know, with, and then cattle all of a sudden went up here. So the cattle guys got a ton of risk on hand right now. And I think when you look at the operation and you look at who needs it the most right now, it's not because I think the prices are going to fall. It's just because we have such a high value of cattle prices. I think it's very important to be looking at some tools and getting some sold.
Jacob Burks is a partner with AgMarket.net. We'll take a look at more farm news next.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
The latest livestock report from the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection says the pork cutout value passed $100 for the first time since November. Even though the latest World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates report predicts that pork production will increase in 2025, others are pointing to lower harvest numbers, that increase in prices and disease challenges as a sign that hog supplies will be lower than expected this year. In other news, the Wisconsin State Fair is accepting applications for its Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Award Program. The application deadline is March 1st. You can find stories of last year's awardees at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 43. Chance of snow or rain tonight, a low of 32. Could see some patchy fog as well. For Wednesday, rain and snow likely, highs in the low 40s. For Thursday, partly sunny, 41, and 40 on your Friday. Currently 33 degrees.
You know, I really enjoy it when anyone else besides me cooks. Truly, I do. And if you feel the same, then the upcoming fundraiser at Christine and Domestic Abuse Services on Friday, February 28th just might interest you. You can taste delicious creations from over 30 chefs, all from the local community. Then vote on your favorite and see who wins Top Chef. If this is an event that interests you, and remember, it's for a good cause, you're going to want to check it out and get your tickets. Or heck, buy a whole table. Go to WISS.FM, click events, and get yours now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how, let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till...
For
WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Monday night, the Green Bay Area Public School Board voted to change several job titles and descriptions to keep ahead of a directive from the Trump administration on DEI efforts. The changes removed mentions of diversity, equity, inclusion, and cultural competency from job descriptions. The motion to change titles and descriptions carried 4-3. The school board hopes the efforts will ensure that it doesn't lose millions of dollars in federal aid. The Education Department sent a memo out Friday giving school districts an ultimatum to stop using racial preferences as a factor in admissions, financial aid, hiring, and other areas. Schools were given 14 days to end any practice that treats students and workers differently because of their race. A recent study by WalletHub found that Wisconsin homeowners pay some of the highest real estate property taxes in the country. According to the study, Wisconsin ranked 8th in the nation for highest taxes, despite having the 20th lowest median home value. Wisconsin residents pay nearly $4,600 in annual taxes for a median value home, significantly more than the national average of about $3,000 per year. Illinois was the only Midwest state to rank higher on the list, paying a median home average of nearly $6,800 per year. The largest Flag Day parade in the country with over 50,000 spectators will take place in Appleton on Saturday, June 14th. The City of Appleton Parades Committee is now accepting applications for the 74th Appleton Flag Day Parade. It's also accepting applications for the Memorial Day Parade on May 26th. The deadline to apply to be in either parade is April 15th. See our story at WGBW.FM for more information and links. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Special thanks to Zane Stats, graphic designer, painter, mural artist. Boy, that sounds like a great project right? He's got going on.
I hope he gets the word out to other teams that are visiting. And, you know, if somebody's coming in from Seattle or what, San Diego, Houston, that'd be cool if they could hear this some way,
somehow.
And it's
up to, what, the end of August? The pictures?
Yes, but it'd be up for the draft, which is really cool. They can come up here and see that. So anyway.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're heading in towards March Madness. This is a great time of year for basketball, high school, and collegiate. And I love following a website or a Facebook site about Al McGuire. Al McGuire is my favorite. Other than Dick Bennett, Al McGuire is my favorite coach of all time in any way, shape, or form. And this gentleman right here, Gary Gresh Sr., had a front row seat. I shouldn't say seat, Gary, because that might bring back some long nights sitting instead of playing.
Riding the bench.
I had my share both ways.
The pride of Don Bosco High School, Gary Gresh Sr., former Marquette Warrior back in the day during some of their great, tremendous days. Gary, first of all, congratulations on your young son with his 400th win.
Thank you very much. Very proud of him. He's come a long way, and he's had a lot of help with it. But he's very humble about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him for many more years.
Yeah, and he really is. Humble is the right word. And just is so – we've had him on the show quite a few times, really. Yeah, a week ago, but a number of times. And just never talks about himself. Just no. And he's one of those – I'm not saying he's a player's coach, but boy, does he care about the players. You did a good job raising him.
Well, thank you very much. And the nice thing about it is that the parents appreciate all that he's done for their sons, and he really cares about them. I think most of them wind up graduating from St. Norbert's, which is a real plus. So, yeah, very proud of him.
And he said you were writing out some huge checks for NIL. Is that true?
If I had the money, I would definitely do something.
Well, Gary Gretsch, tell us a little bit. You know, I've been reading these Al McGuire stories, and it's just funny. You know, Maurice, I don't know if Maurice Lucas was a teammate of yours, but how he was like the most toughest guy in college basketball, and the Jim Jones and these unbelievable legendary players, and Al McGuire's son. And I've always wanted to ask that. Maybe I did. Did you have to compete with Al McGuire's son for playing time at point guard?
I did. And there were times when he was hurt or sick, like his sophomore year, because you couldn't play as a freshman. I started the first five games that year. So I was a year ahead of him. And Jones was my roommate at that time. He was a freshman. Obviously, freshmen couldn't play. And Maurice Lucas came in a following year because I think it's because we played in the NIT. He was so impressed with that he was the big recruit the following year.
Did you play against Pete Maravich?
Pete Maravich, yes. I really enjoyed it. I kind of related a little bit to my son playing against Jason Kidd. But yes, Pete Maravich, he averaged 43 points a game for 3 years because you couldn't, again, play as freshmen. They had no three-point shot, no clock shot. We held them to 23 points that game.
Wow.
Wow.
He was so legendary. I mean, he was unbelievable during his day in college. Did you, like, when you guys took the floor, like, when you're shooting around, did you kind of cast sideways glance down there and check out the pistol?
Well, I used to stick around. A few of our players would stick around before we practiced or after we practiced, and sometimes they'd follow us or be one or the other. And we'd watch him practice, and he was just phenomenal. He could do things like a globetrotter could. Unbelievable.
So you played a lot of games. You played just with Al McGuire. Do you have a favorite? I'm sure people ask you that all the time. But, I mean, there's just every game can be so exciting. Do you have a favorite game that stands out when you look back?
Well, definitely the LSU game, the third game. But the one game I really remember, and it was our toughest game in the NIT because that's the year – we turned down the NCAA to play in it. But that game I remember, it was our we won by only 7 points. That was our toughest game. And at halftime, it was a real close game. We came in at halftime, and Al says, "Hey, who is this guy out there? Who is that?" And the brothers, the guys from New York, they say, "Well, that's the doctor." And it's like he should have known, but they all knew of him. On
Julius Erving.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Go, coach.
Yes.
Wow.
Julius Erving, you guys were up. You're up against Maravich and Julius Erving. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
And you won.
And Lou Carnesecca was in the championship game, his team, St. John's.
Okay.
So it was a heck of a NIT. because when you were in the, at that time, and I've often told my sons this, they said, "What was so big about the NIT?" I said, "You don't realize there were only 32 teams in the NCAA, and there were 32 a lot of teams that took second or third in their conference, Big Ten, whatever conference, they didn't make it to the NCAA. They played in the NIT then."
Well, that's the same thing with the ACC, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, all these fantastic teams. If you didn't win the tournament, a lot of times you could go 30-0 during the regular season, get beat in the championship game of your tournament, and you were out of the tournament. Hey, Gary?
Yeah. Correct. I don't know back then if they had conference tournaments, though.
ACC did.
Now, you're talking about 1970 now.
But ACC was the first ones to do it.
They were? Okay.
Yeah. Because
I wasn't aware of that.
They had a phenomenal tournament 1 year with Maryland that had Tom McMillan and those great players, and NC State that had David Thompson and some of those players, and they said that was one of the greatest tournaments. That could have been almost like a national tournament, those teams in the ACC.
Right.
We're with Gary Gresh Sr. Now, Gary, what I have to ask this, what were practices like with Al McGuire?
Practices, actually, I thought they were pretty easy compared to what I had in high school, because before every practice, Al would say, hey, you guys, come in. And whenever we practiced, and he'd talk to us sometimes for a half an hour and just talked about life in general, different things and things like that. And I said, boy, this is good. We're only going to get to run up and down the floor only for an hour. So he was really good about communicating, talking about life and things like that.
That's awesome.
That's, you know, and that's nice to hear that was happening back then.
Yeah.
But today it's a lot of that as well. When we had, who was the guy at GB? You know, he loved,
Sundance
was really into getting to know the players and really being this maybe father figure that some of them didn't have. Now, you came from a great family, but it's sure nice to get that reinforced, if nothing else.
Correct. It wasn't just about basketball with him. It was about life. It was about, you know, things going on in the world. He was ahead of the times.
Yeah.
What about Rick Majerus, who was like a student assistant or whatever, and then became a legendary coach?
Rick Majerus, I loved him. We were best friends. He used to call me up at 10 o'clock at night, and that's when he was coaching in high school that last year. And he'd say, hey, Gary, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting ready for bed. And he says, come on, let's go for a pizza. And I said, Rick, it's late and that stuff. He said, come on, let's go out. I want to hear what happened at practice today and what's going on.
Wow.
He was always involved one way or another.
He was the ultimate gym junkie type, gym rat type, wasn't he?
Definitely. In fact, my son could probably tell you stories about him. When I was coaching him in grade school, he said, hey, get your players together, get your grade school team together, and let's go to the gym. I'm going to work them out. And he did.
No kidding. Then Hank Raymonds, who I think quietly was very, very instrumental behind all the success for Marquette in the era, right?
Yes, definitely. He was a great assistant coach. I mean, he was loyal. He probably knew more about basketball than Al did. I remember one time sitting with him, actually at a Marquette game, and he says, look at that offense they're running. That's the old Kentucky offense, or that's the old, you know, he'd know all these different things. He too loved basketball. He was a great guy.
Isn't it? Don't you have to like almost just like pinch yourself sometimes with Gary? I mean, you had a nice high school career, obviously, and then you get to play for just three really legendary coaches, and then your son gets to play for a legendary coach. Now he's got 400 wins. His son was a great athlete. Your granddaughter's a great basketball player. I mean, you know what? You know, people can say, well, don't put too much emphasis on sports. And I say bull crap. Sports is life. Sports is a really important part of our life. And for a family like yours, that's what you guys have embraced. And it's a great thing. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree. I think it's very relative. You know, if you're a hard worker, you're going to be a hard worker in life, you know, and you go out there and I think you can relate them to, you know, after life. I mean, after basketball and things.
No question that it's more than sports. And what I find interesting, especially with your son and his players, is these are pretty good academic students, too. Oof. I mean, they're really good academic students. And I think that's great that they understand that sports is fun. It's important, but it's just part of it. It's part of the game. And I think when people understand, because some people are like, oh, we're spending too much money on some of these facilities. And you say, look, this is turning out not good athletes. Not only good athletes, but great, great students. And I think...
Well, the education is there if they want it.
Right.
Some, unfortunately, don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Gary, we got to set a quick break. Can you stick around for 1 minute?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Enjoy talking basketball.
This is great. Gary Gresh Sr., former Marquette Warrior player. Back after this.
Your head on every beat.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Supreme Court declined to fast-track a challenge by a GOP Supreme Court candidate who lost in November by 734 votes. And super PACs backed by Elon Musk are pouring millions into Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court race. After two recounts, incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs led by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger, Judge Jefferson Griffin, claims as many as 65,000 of those voters were ineligible. February 17th, Griffin filed in appeals court, but the state elections board requested a fast track to the state Supreme Court. February 20th, that request was denied, and the case is likely to be heard later this year. The New York Times reported Elon Musk's America PAC is spending $1 million on GOP voter turnout for an April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Musk's Building America Future PAC has also booked another $1.5 million supporting former GOP State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. His opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, raised over $7.7 million so far, with outside spending via donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The 2023 election of Justice Janet Prusiewicz resulted in fairer redistricting maps for the first time in over a decade. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. Very special guest, Gary Gresh Sr. Gary, I got a text here. What did you do when Gary Jr. won his first game as a head coach at St. Norbert?
Oh, I bought a cake on the way up there, and congratulations on your first win. And then I left it in the car because I didn't know if he was going to win the game or not. And then the game was over, I said, hey, Gary, can I come in after the game? I got something for you. And I brought him in a cake and just a congratulations and that. And obviously, we split it with the team. He didn't take it home with him. I thought, well, and I asked him about that, if he remembered that. And he said, yes, I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. 401 wins later or whatever. I'll tell you one thing, though, Gary. Talking about playing for a legendary coach such as an Al McGuire, and I don't know if we appreciated it as much at the time, but playing for a Dick Bennett, now in retrospect, legendary nationwide, one of the legendary. And, you know, when he was here, he'd come from Stevens Point. So, yeah. You're up in the big time now type of thing. And isn't that pretty incredible between you and him? I mean, do you guys talk at all, Gary, how those two coaches have played a part in your lives down the road?
We've both been very blessed from high school on. I had a great coach, Tom Sager, in high school at Don Bosco. And he had great coaches in high school and continued on. I mean, all our coaches are in the Hall of Fame and things. That's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable. I'm very happy with the choice that he went, and myself too. No looking back.
So now, with this talent that you've created throughout your whole family, what do you go to a lot of games? Is there
how do you pick which one to go to?
I was just going to ask you that. What happens when logistically you can't do both, or do you attend the games, or how are you still engaged?
When he was in college, I would miss one game every year, and sure enough, it would be, I'm going to use the Northern Illinois game. It was towards the end of the year. I had a funeral that night of a relative, and I didn't make the game. Well, he made the game-winning basket and got fouled against Northern Illinois towards the end of the game. And I read in a paper the night after, day after, Dick saying, that's really unusual for Gary to be that dramatic. I thought that was something. But every year. And so after the game, he says to me, or the next day, he says to me, Dad, you know, I know you drive up a lot of times by yourself, and that, and sometimes you hit bad weather, and that you can stay home once in a while.
You know, so, that group, though, Gary, when we were doing those games in that era, I mean, it was Eric Jackson's mom and dad and Jeff Norgard's mom and dad, Jeremy Ludvigsen, Eric LeDuc, Berlowski's. I mean, yes. What a family atmosphere the parents had following that team.
Yes, yes. That was great. I mean, we got to be real good friends and still are friends. I really enjoyed it.
I remember it was my birthday. Well, the Jason Kidd game was on my birthday. And then the next year we were in, I think, Austin, Texas to play Purdue. And it was my birthday. I remember Eric Jackson's. I think it might have been your Gary's grandma, the little Sicilian. And they brought me this real nice big thing of cupcakes right down on press row. They, Johnny, here's happy birthday. And then little candles on them on press row. That was like the nicest thing.
Yeah, she was a pistol. Oh. She'd go to any game she could. Loved her to death.
She reminded me so much of my Nona. 5'1", 98 pounds, but feisty as possible. Yeah. Right, Gary?
Well, that must have been her heaviest. I remember at about 85 pounds. Wow.
Great era.
Hey, are you... happy with the way things are going? I mean, you played years ago, and basketball, like many, many other things, is evolving. Is that the right word, or changing? Do you like what you see? You feel confident that things are being done right?
Well, obviously, I don't care for, you know, if a person, the portal and everything.
Yeah.
People playing 6 years, going to five different schools. I don't care for that. When you transferred from a school back in my time, you had to sit out a year. And now there's no rules on that and how it's being governed. No, I don't like that direction.
Right.
Well, Gary, listen, we're going to let you go wrap it up here. We could sit and talk to you for about 4 hours. I got about 12 other stories I wanted to ask about, and time just goes by too fast. Would love to get you on again sometime, but just want to say congratulations on raising such a, you know, to forget the wins and losses, congratulations on raising such a wonderful family.
Thank you so much. They really are great, great kids, and they carry themselves well, and thank you so much for that comment.
Well, they look to as leaders in our community. And like Johnny said, there's so much more than just basketball. And and that comes from you and your wife. So they should be in political office.
Oh, here he goes. Okay, look at the time.
And the other thing, it goes by fast. Now you see them, now you don't.
Right.
So thank you.
Well, right. I remember, Gary, I said, your son and Dominic were at Resurrection School together, you know, at Christmas pageants, and now Dom is full grown in his 40s, and your son is a phenomenal athlete, and Gary's whatever, and your granddaughters and Liz. And so it just goes by way too fast.
Yeah. You can't forget Gary's wife,
Liz.
She's been so supportive and helping him out. You know, people don't realize at one time she could have probably had the Youngstown State women's job, and she gave it up, to help her husband, Gary, because she knows how much he loves the game.
Yeah. Outstanding. Gary Gresh Sr., thank you so much, my friend. Thanks for being a great friend over the years.
Thank you, John. Try to make it to one of Gary's games so we can go out for a sandwich after, okay?
Could we get something to wash that sandwich down with?
Yeah.
All right, great.
We can have a soda or two.
It's
sure.
A deal. Gary Gresh Sr., thank you so much, my friend. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, Pope Francis still hospitalized, but he has met with the Vatican Secretary of State on future canonization ceremonies for potential saints. ABC's Marcus Moore has the latest from Rome.
Vatican sources also tell ABC News that Pope Francis remains in good humor and that he's not in pain. The faithful are expected to gather for him again for a special prayer service tonight here at the Vatican.
The Pope has been diagnosed with double pneumonia. More federal workers being let go in Washington. The Trump administration pushing forward with the cuts. The Department of Veterans Affairs forced to lay off 1,400 probationary employees overnight. There's also confusion about whether or not government workers should be responding to the email that came from Elon Musk's Doge asking them to send a list of their job duties or risk being fired. Acting IRS Commissioner Doug O'Donnell will announce that he is stepping down as soon as this week, according to sources. He's said to be distressed about the chaos. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.